Hey everyone, welcome back to a new episode of Dietetics Next. I'm your host, Nikki Vitale. In today's episode, we have the pleasure of interviewing Professor Joan Marn from Florida International University. Professor Marn's career in dietetics began as a chief clinical dietitian at the formerly known Doctors Hospital in Coral Gables while pursuing a master's degree in dietetics at FIU. Professor Marn started teaching at FIU in the Department of Dietetics and Nutrition in 2008 and has been serving as a dietetics director since 2012. Today, we have an interesting topic titled, When You Disagree with a Physician. Many of our dietetic students will pursue a career as a clinical dietitian and may encounter a situation where they disagree with a physician. This topic is important to address since teamwork is essential to deliver the best care to patients. Moreover, for many dietetic students and dietetic interns, knowing how to deal with the situation and how to become an effective communicator is vital in the clinical setting. In this episode, Professor Marn will share her experience working at different hospitals, as well as some tips to build effective relationships with physicians. Conducting today's interview, we have four dietetic students from FIU: Stacy Alonzo, Marielle Ames Plummer, Anna Anaguren Martinez, and Amy Kawaguchi.
Hi, good morning, Professor Marn. Thank you for joining us today. It is our pleasure to speak with you today. How are you?
Great. Thanks. Okay. Thanks for inviting me.
Thank you for joining. I'm Amy Kawaguchi, and I'm with my colleagues today, which is Marielle, Stacy, and Anna. And today we have an interesting topic to discuss with you, which is when you disagree with a physician. We have a total of 16 questions for you, but we categorize those questions into different sections, which are your background. We're gonna start with your background and then move on to when disagreement happens. And then a little bit about communication skills, respect, role of dietitian in hospital settings, and keeping up with the latest information. So we're gonna take turns and start asking you questions. The first one is about background. From Marielle.
Hi, Professor Marn. Thanks again for joining us today. Okay, so for the first question, we just wanted to know a little bit more about your background as a dietitian. So why don't you tell us, about your background?
Okay, well, I was going to share my resume if you want to share a screen.
Oh, that's great. Okay, yeah.
So I've had, when I was your age, I had like all of these spelled out in big detail, but when you get older and you do a lot of stuff, you have to condense it. So this is my long version. Of course, my most recent is the director of the DPD program, but I was also a teaching professor, I was a clinical instructor, I don't know where clinical learning. Oh, that became when I was a BLS instructor at Baptist. So I used to teach BLS classes, because it was before I got this present job and I needed something to do because I'm so active. I was also a consultant at Westchester General. And ironically, that was the year I needed to pay for a $10,000 septic tank in my front yard. So you never know where jobs are gonna come up. And it turns out that with consulting, just that one summer, I made $10,000. So
wow.
You never know, you gotta say yes to a lot of things. Then I worked for MyRD2Go in Weston at the Health South Rehab. That was very nice also. I did a lot of little things like this one here, 2008 and 2009. I really just covered for a colleague of mine who runs, I can't remember the name of it, up in Miramar, I believe, Margate. Oh, here it is. And I just did health fairs at the tennis thing. So that, little things that give you other kinds of experiences are good. So I also was a safe sitter instructor at my son's middle school, which means I did BLS training there also. And then I was the director of community relations for a self-defense class. So I not only went to the class and learned it, I also was a teacher and a director of that, an adjunct professor, clinical rehab at Baptist. Somewhere in here, I broke my back in 1988, so I had to take some things part-time until I got back up to speed. So you don't know what life is going to hand you. I worked at OptiFast at the Kendall Medical, Kendall Regional. I worked at Health and Fitness Department at Doctors Hospital before it became Health South, before it became Baptist. So if you're in a community long enough, you know, they go through all these different permutations and buying and selling. I was the chief clinical dietitian there. And I was also a clinical dietitian when I graduated from Ohio State with my bachelor's. So, you know, I just added, you know, my professional affiliations, community affiliations, and my references. So we don't need to share that anymore. Here we go. Stop sharing. Okay. There we go. Leave it to me and you'll find all kind of technical glitches.
Okay.
So that's my background. And when I got this particular position, I was at Publix and I saw Dr. Enrioni and she said, you know, we need somebody who could advise students in our program who graduated from here. And I had my master's done from here. So that got me this job. And then I moved up to the director. So it, you know, life does that to you. You need to be open to different kinds of opportunities.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I agree. I remember the story that, you know, how you met Dr. Enrioni in Publix and and she got you to work at FIU. So but you have a very solid background. I didn't know that resume is amazing.
Well, when you get old, that's what happens.
Okay, so our next series of question gets into when disagreements occur with the physician. So the first question that we have is, you know, what to do if a physician disregards your recommendations as an RD?
Well, remember that a lot of facilities are now allowing dietitians to write the diet orders. And that's going to only increase because we're master's prepared as we move into the future. So most of them do not argue, or they will send you a consult to find out what you're thinking, or catch you like at rounds or catch you in the nursing station, something like that. And you can catch them also. There, a lot of times they're dictating notes or something and they're amenable to talking with you.
Okay.
Now, go ahead.
Oh, no, it's okay. Go ahead.
Well, I had a couple of positives and a couple of negatives that I could share with you, but I'd rather you ask me your questions first.
Okay, maybe this will fall into that same, you know, positive and negative list that you have. So the other thing is, as RDs, how can we make a difference to change this type of attitude towards our field?
Well, again, it's working on the team. You can't go into a facility, and most often you're going to be talking to doctors in a clinical facility.
Right.
So you can't be, they call them silos. You can't be all by yourself. You have to dig in, go to the nursing stations, talk to the nurses, talk to the doctors as they're, you know, flitting around and introduce yourself. Hi, I'm the dietitian for this floor or this unit. So make yourself known. Get on a committee. When I was at Ohio State, I helped the nurses write up a protocol for tube feedings. What exactly water they have to put down, how often they have to flush. And then, of course, consult us to get the correct calorie level. And you can't just blow them up with like 12 cans of Ensure. You have to do like 1.5 calories or 2 calorie formulas so that, you know, it's reasonable that they don't just blow up in bed, that kind of thing.
Right.
So you integrate yourself with the team. And even if you don't plan on staying there a long time, for the time you're there, you're part of the team, the pharmacists, the nurses' aides, the doctors, the PAs, the residents. You know, Ohio State had interns and residents, so we could snag them much more to talk to more easily than the actual attending physician. And then go on rounds. If you're at a good big teaching hospital, they have all kind of rounds. They either have teaching rounds, which the doctors do every morning, fairly early also, if you want to get there that early. And then they have grand rounds where they have like a, once a month, they have a huge auditorium with everybody in it. And you should go to them and show your face, show them that, that you're the dietitian. I always, when Rosenberg was here, and every time I caught him on campus, I would say, who's your dietitian? Okay, so, you know, you have to make it so that people remember you.
Right. So just to make your presence known, you know, so that they have a better understanding of the value of our roles as RZs, right? So
they don't want to know our job. They have enough going on with their own job. And yes, doctors can say, you know, like a calorie controlled for somebody, but then you're the one who translates that to the client. And maybe if he recommends like a 1200, and the person's 5'7 and 150 pounds, then you would say, well, 1200 is just bare minimum for getting good vitamins and minerals. This person would really need this calorie level. And then the next minute you see that he changed the orders. Unless you have writing privileges.
Okay.
Because they don't calculate St. Jure equations.
Nope. But from what I understand, they're actually a lot of the courses now include nutrition for physicians if they're going to become a doctor. So I think that, you know, that's important too.
Well, I looked up a couple of things regarding that because I had heard things, but I never looked it up. But these are not new. Like one I found in September of 2010, because see, that's 10 years ago.
Right.
They're only getting like 19 and a half contact hours. Now, you know what contact hours means? It's like you could take a 3-credit hour course, but that doesn't mean you sit there for 3 hours. Every 3-credit hour course that you have is really like 44 hours of contact hours. So compare one course, 44 contact hours, with their total 4-year or 6-year program, 19 and a half. Okay.
Wow.
And it's not getting better. This one study from 2010 said that it used to be higher, and in 2020 it got lower, 2010. So we could only hope that it has gone up from there, but I didn't have that much time to look at all the details. So no, they get the basics. They know endocrinology. They know, insulin and all the hormones and all that stuff. But they don't know how to take the calorie levels and translate that into the diet program that person needs, the diet plan.
Right. Yeah. Makes sense. The collaboration is important, so it needs to happen. It's essential. And so I think that Anna is going to ask you one more question that has to do with the background.
If you can share one negative experience that you had with a physician and explain to us how you approach it.
Okay, a negative one?
Yes, a negative.
It's really my biggest negative one.
Okay.
I didn't come out of it very well. I had all kind of scars. I was at Westchester just before I got the position here, and the doctor ordered a 1200 calorie ADA, American Diabetic Diet. That's what they used to call them back then, for a non-diabetic patient. So I caught the doctor in the little recording room, and I told him that I didn't think this person needed to be on any calorie restriction. And he did get a little angry. The person has a really high A1C. And of course, that does go high after surgery. The person did have recent surgery. And so I did have egg on my face that I didn't either read the notes well enough or the lab values. And I said, the way I got out of it was the person was not diabetic, and that we could definitely order a calorie carbohydrate control. That's what they do now. They don't even call it a diabetic diet. It's 1200 calorie controlled. But, you know, I was there for a summer and I kind of ruined it with him, and saw him later and tried to go the other way down the hall. You know, you learn from your mistakes, and that taught me to get all my ducks in a row before I approach the doctor. Okay, but I did not have writing privileges at that place, so.
Well, that's comforting to know, because I'm sure that all of us in this in this Zoom session are going to be making mistakes and learning.
But you
from
have
them,
to
so
learn.
That's comforting.
What you learn is that you gain experience by mistakes. You do need to know a lot, and if you don't, then keep quiet until you go look it up. And then, you know, luckily in this case, nobody died in the process, including me. So. So I learned to be a little bit more attentive.
Excellent.
Our next questions are about communication skills. And then my question is, do you have any tips for us on how to establish an effective relationship with a physician so that they listen more to us?
Well, again, it's being around a lot and introducing yourself. You know, when I was at this consulting job, I was there different hours, weekends, all kinds of things. And I would go on rounds, like one time at Baptist in the rehab facility. I would go on the rounds with the whole team for how to get these people. These were physical rehabilitation, so could have been a back injury, neck injury, spinal cord injury, you know, anything that caused them to be physically. And they were sitting there and they said, you know, this person is just making such a great turnaround. And I know we're providing a lot of things, but I can't pinpoint what it was. And I said, how about good nutrition? Mm-hmm. And they go, of course, of course. So see, I don't always use humor, but there are points when you could use humor to mm-hmm. say, hello, I'm here, I'm the dietitian. So it's my personality also. And I didn't used to be. I used to be a very much an introvert until I started teaching. Mm-hmm. So that gets you a little more gregarious and able to step out and realize that nobody has all the answers, that as a team, we have most of the answers.
Mm-hmm. So how is the best way to take the initiative in one case? Like, oh, I have to do this. How is the best way to approach the physician and choose the right path?
I would ask, I always approach it as a question, you know, hi, I'm so-and-so the dietitian. And I do that several times just in case they don't remember me. And I would say, can I ask you a question about the diet order for this patient? Would you reconsider? Like, I'll give you a good example. At Ohio State, there was a 95-year-old woman who was recovering from something I don't even remember, but the doctor put her on a 1 gram sodium diet. Now, you ought to go somewhere and eat a 1 gram sodium diet. It is like the most bland you could ever imagine. So I approached him saying, would you reconsider liberalizing her diet, because we did a nutrient intake analysis and she's only eating 25% of her food. So if it doesn't taste good, it could have been that she didn't want to eat it, or just her, you know, recovery was causing her appetite to go down. So he said, sure, just give her a regular diet. All right. So she was still eating like a bird, but she was happy eating what she ate. So you have to approach it as a question. Or say that, but it's, you know, it's having the confidence
that
to be part of the team. You know, you don't have to like say, you know, I'm the dietitian, you know, like this. Just say, I'm the dietitian. How can I help you? How can I help the patients on this floor? All right, you know, you have your tasks to do, but then you could also help them. Oh, you know what? So and so in room such and such, just stopped eating. Could you go in and find out what's going on? Sure, you know, and then document it. And then, of course, if you get 2 feeding requests, those are usually done as consults. And they don't know how to do it. They want you to do the, write up the calorie level needed and the amount of fluid needed for what's going on in their situation. So you have to have a little confidence, which you don't have when you first go out there. So that you should work on.
Okay, so Professor Marn, what advice would you offer to individuals who find it challenging to navigate interpersonal situations that demand asserting one's power?
Okay, it comes a little bit with age and experience, because the more you're in practice, the more confidence you do have. So I can totally relate. I was a greenie dietitian in several places, and I can feel your pain. But you just have to, what's that saying? Like, grin and bear it. You are a professional. You do have value. You have to keep telling yourself that. And then allow yourself in first positions to be new and green. So that's what they call it, green. You know, it's just the more you do, the more confidence you get.
I remember in counseling lab, we had exercises you had us do, like, to assert what level of, like, of assertiveness we would have in those certain situations. So.
Now I remember. You were in my lab where we were all wearing masks.
Yeah.
That's why I don't remember. Yeah. So let me tell you another little story. I was on teaching rounds, which is small. It's just, the attending physician with his resident, and then like maybe six or eight medical students. So one, I think they do that every day, but I didn't go to all of them. But one day I went, and he was talking about gamma globulin A or something like that. And then I did go the next day because nobody answered him correctly. And he gave the answer. And then the next day he said, so what was I talking about yesterday? And everybody was like looking around. Nobody could remember. And I said, gamma globulin A? You know, I like squeaked it out. And he goes, the dietitian knows and you don't even know. So I got on his good graces, but there was a negative to that, because he asked me the next week to give him information about a gallbladder diet. And I'm like, you know, shaking in my boots. But I looked up everything, and as I was talking, you know, it was a little room, like a very small classroom. And I was like leaning, sitting on the desk, that kind of thing. And so I gave my little spiel, and he kept asking me, but why, but why, but why? And I was starting to sweat, and the students were like, oh, you know, feeling bad for me. And finally, I mean, you've got to tell them what you think you know. And that is, this is the state of knowledge in dietetics for gallbladder diets. He goes, okay, thank you. That's all I wanted to know. So, because he didn't know. So as we went out, these students, they all put their arm around me and then see what we get every day. So you need to, like, push yourself to be part of the team. And because everybody makes mistakes, and everybody has their new moments in a position. So don't be so hard on yourselves. I guess that's a good advice. Not to take things lightly, but just don't be so hard on yourself.
Okay, I think Anna has the next question.
Yeah, the one that we hit in one case, but when we are gonna transition to the respect section of the podcast. So when you realize that the physician is new in the hospital, how do you communicate the message to him while showing respect?
Well, I think that's just something you learn as a human being, that you need to respect people lower than you, higher than you. You know, they say you're supposed to be able to talk to the president and also talk to the cleaning lady or cleaning man. You know, you should treat everybody with respect. And I like starting with questions. You know, do you have time that I could ask you about this so-and-so patient? That kind of thing. Respect is always like the top, no matter who you're talking to. You know, there's jokes about RDs saying, oh, we're the real doctors. But see, that's not respectful. We're not doctors. So you either learn that in your family of origin, or you learn it in my counseling class to respect people. Yeah. Did that answer your question?
Yes. Yeah, I think that respect and the great communication between the team is really important to, you know, create a new a good relationship, because we want to create a good relationship between the physician. Yeah,
exactly. Exactly. You, it builds your future also.
Yeah,
they'll say, oh, ask Joan, you know, and go find the dietitian, you know, something like that. So yeah, you have to insert yourself.
So the next question is kind of similar to the previous one. It's, in certain situations, we need to be careful and remain polite while presenting our ideas to others. How could one go about doing this?
So being careful about presenting our ideas to others? It's partly respect. Like when I did the tube feeding protocol for Ohio State, I said, well, can we get like a little subcommittee together so that we sit down and I'll talk about state of the art and you tell me about the techniques and the timing that you can do it, so that we made the timeline and also what were the tasks, because I wasn't inserting the tube and I just needed to calculate the calories and tell them what product would be best for this particular disease state. So it was like getting them on board, you know, we're helping each other. And then they posted that on the pulmonary unit at Ohio State. Probably has been revised in the last 20 years, but so it ties in with respect and knowing that others can help you also. You know, the nurses are there 24/7, different shifts, and you could put a note in the chart, you know, need to know how much fluid, or of course that's on the fluid chart, how the patient's eating, you know, can you contact the dietitian, that kind of thing. Does that answer your question, Stacey?
Yes, thank you so much. And the next question is from Amy, and we're moving to the section of role of a dietitian in the hospital setting.
Okay, so my question is, do you think most physicians are aware of our roles as a dietitian and the impact that we can make?
Back in my day, they were aware that there was this little person behind them and around them. But now it's a totally different animal, because so many of the facilities are allowing the dietitians to make the diet order for the patient. So I think, you know, I don't have experience with that, but it's changing. And yes, we are a valued member. But see, if you don't think you're a value to the facility or to the team, then they're not going to think you're a value. So you have the value yourself too. It goes back to, you can't love anybody unless you love yourself enough to accept love. So it's also, you know, saying that, yes, I have a body of knowledge that you don't have. And they never will unless they get an RD.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, that's true.
You will have that confidence, because I am no different than any of you here today. In that I was green, I was always asking my colleagues, you know, what do I do? You know, looking up in books and things. And we wore lab coats, and we had all these little pocket notes, and we would shuffle through the notes because, you know, it was daunting. You know, luckily we could go back to our little galley office. You know what a galley office is?
No, what is that?
It's like a mini kitchen on the floor. It's not the main hospital kitchen, but it's a little kitchen where you have like snacks and drinks and stuff. And then in the back of that, they would have like a board with file cabinets holding up the board and some shelves on top. You could put our books. We would go into our galley kitchen and look up everything. So, and then, you know, once you look up something, then you tend not to forget that. So, and you could always be by the patient's bedside and say, you know, that's a really good question, but I have a meeting in 3 minutes. I really have to run, and I'll come back at such and such, and then go look it up.
And go into the galley, the galley room.
I mean, you can't do that. You can't do that every day, all the time, but you know what I mean.
That's going to be my first question when I go on the internship. Where is the galley room?
Well, some of them have dietitian rooms, and some of them have dietitian closets. Like I did a little tiny consulting job down at Mariners Hospital in wherever that is, Key Largo. And literally it was a little computer stand with a computer on it. It was a closet. It was a closet. And there were ants crawling all over the table. Okay.
Of course.
And that was what the dietitians got. Oh, you're not going to get a big corner office with a view of Manhattan, that's for sure. So what else?
I know that you mentioned that you have some positive experience at the hospital. I don't know if you want to share one with us.
I think the one was the 95-year-old who didn't need to be on a 1 gram sodium. And I've had other, I just don't remember them all. You know, they're, if you're respectful and you stick with your body of knowledge, people are going to respect you.
Mm-hmm.
And the doctors, especially the ones that are coming up and out now and in the past 10 years, they really understand the teamwork. And in the spring, let's say you guys are done. You already took the interprofessional workshop, correct?
Yeah.
See, that is what's happening. That's been happening for 13 years here at Ohio State, here at FIU. So all those physician medical students, all the nurses, all the PT, OT, they know we need to work together. So that's been happening. So you're going to get out there and find that they're very respectful of you.
So our next questions are about keeping up with the latest information. So how do physicians keep up with the latest nutrition regimens in hospital settings? Are there any educational sessions, or do they have to teach them themselves? Do they have to study on their own, or is there like educational sessions?
If they're not getting it in the medical school program, which is very packed with information, like I said, 19 contact hours is nothing. Nothing. It's you know, it's like an overview. It's probably like an overview of principles,
mm-hmm.
which is watered down, you know, from what you know now, getting advanced nutrition and all that. And they don't have the time. It's better for them to refer to a dietitian,
mm-hmm.
especially in a clinical facility, because you're there.
Was there ever an occasion where you sought more information to make an educated decision?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it depends. You have to think on your feet, because back when I was at the clinical setting, you literally did bedside interventions, which I don't believe in anymore, because they're too ill and too full of drugs to even listen to you. And I would go back and get more information and have things printed out for them. And, you know, like the tube feeding thing, I had to make sure that I had all the steps correctly, and so that they would know at what step to do what and all that. Well, I've forgotten a lot too, so.
And this next question is kind of, you answered this previously, but I'm just gonna ask it again. Have you ever had a conversation with a physician about MNT that you deemed inappropriate?
Yeah, that one that I got flat on my face, yeah. The one with the A1C, you know, because it was gonna be a temporary calorie restriction to get the A1C down. But he also could have ordered a no simple sugar diet.
Okay, and the last question is from Marielle.
Yeah, so in your opinion, what's the best way to present the evidence-based information to the physician? You know, do you get your book from the galley room and then bring it to them?
No, I didn't take a book there. But kidding. I would say there was a recent article in our journal regarding this. And if you'd like, I'd get you a copy of it, but essentially, they don't want to read any more than they have. So if you quote something that was in a recent journal about this very topic, they're more open than you'll believe they are. They're not like the old school. Those are all retired, you know, that make you feel inferior, because they don't have the knowledge base we have. We have a very unique how to take the science and put it into practical information for the client, or in a clinical setting, you know, certain items. Yeah, but you know, when you're in a certain area, like if you're only in diabetics, like a clinic for diabetes, or only cardiovascular, then you get that real solid base of that. If you're in a more mixed practice, like a friend of mine just retired. She was a private practice dietitian on Miracle Mile. She did everything from pediatric all the way up to old age. Now, they were ambulatory. They weren't in a hospital. But she did everything. And you know what? She walked away from it. So I said, if she could do it, I could do it.
Gave you the motivation.
It's hard, though, because nutrition is so much a part of us, literally, and what we teach. And
well, thank you. You know, we appreciate, you know, the time that you put aside for this interview. And I think we learned a lot. You answered all of our questions in detail. And so we appreciate that. And we appreciate you. And that wraps up, I think, everything. Unless anybody else has any questions.
Just we're happy that we were able to have you as a professor before you retired.
Oh, thank
you. Absolutely.
That makes me feel good. But remember to allow yourself to be a new dietitian. Okay. There is a lot you're going to forget. Just you should know where to find it. That's the important thing. Do you know where to find the right answer? So, and if it's like a little thing in the back of your head, well, I know I had that. I know it was Dr. Vigi. I know it was Professor Martin, but I can't remember it, but know where to find it.
Thank you so much, Professor
Martin. All right. Thank you so much, Professor.
Take care.
Take care. Okay.
We had a wonderful time interviewing Professor Joan Marn. She shared some great tips to become an effective communicator in the hospital setting, such as making yourself known, integrating yourself into the team, having humor to build rapport, being confident, and showing respect when speaking to others. It is also good to remember that the more you do, the more confident you become. Professor Marn reminded us that we don't have to be so hard on ourselves, as many new RDs may feel intimidated by this type of situation. They may find it challenging to build connection with physicians or to get their message across. However, we can always start with a friendly hello, ask questions, and gradually make our presence known to become a part of the team. Thanks for listening to today's episode. Stay tuned for more exciting and insightful interviews brought to you by FIU's dietetic students.